At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
Thursday, December 22nd, 2022. It is the Beat in the Book podcast, Megapod week number 16 in the National Football League. It's Gil Alexander live from the South Point. We got records to update. We got picks to make. Jeff Parles with us, staples of the show here at the South Point. Jeff Parles, VSiN host. How you doing, Jeffrey?
I'm good. You got me up early today.
Yes. Jeff experiencing the numbers game Megapod back-to-back. And from his mom's cork attic in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Todd Wishnev. What's happening, Todd?
I'm still in a bad mood about my Redskins plus five at the end of that ridiculous game that we were robbed. Absolutely highway robbery.
Yeah. Curtis Samuel got hugged at the end of that game. And then Terry McLaurin, the play before that, Pro Bowler, the incomparable Terry McLaurin, checking with the ref and then told, "I'm sorry, we're going to have to throw the flag." That was brutal.
I mean, it's just getting to a ridiculous point with this NFL refereeing situation. I mean, the guy asks the guy, "Am I on the line?" He says, "Okay." And then he calls the foul. What is going on? And then the Raiders guy is inbounds on the, replay, or he's not inbounds, or do we not have a camera in the back pylon? I mean, what is going on in this league?
Can we introduce the guest first before we bitch about stuff?
No, I'm very angry.
Can we do that? We have a rotating guest on the Megapod, of course, every week from the inception of this show. And today, for the first time on the Megapod, ladies and gentlemen, VSiN's own Matt Humans is with us. How you doing, Matt?
Hey, pretty good, buddy. It's great to be on the Megapod. I've seen Your roll call of impressive guests over the past several years, and it's good to be on here finally.
Well, I will appreciate you doing it. By the way, my bad for not having you on before this. I just want to say Matt Humans is a bit of a medical marvel. I refer to him always as medical marvel Matt Humans. And Todd, this will be interesting to you because you obviously, with that weight loss challenge with Fezzik, Matt, can you explain to Todd, I'm not sure he's aware of this, of what your daily intake of food looks like?
It's massive on a daily basis. Probably, you know, 4 to 5, some days even 6 fast food meals. I will say this, you guys, last night.
It's amazing.
Last night went out to a great steakhouse. Anybody wants a tip? I don't know if Jeff, Gil, any of you guys have been there. T-Bone's Steakhouse at the Red Rock Casino.
Never.
Have you been there?
Never.
Outstanding.
Really?
I went there last night. So That's a pro tip for anybody who is looking for a good steakhouse in Summerlin.
What is your go-to steak order, though? That matters.
Well, last night it was a tomahawk ribeye. It was a 42-ouncer.
Matt, what is your trick? What is your trick to defy the laws of physics and be able to consume all these calories and not be 8 billion pounds? Because I'd love to learn that trick.
Yes.
248 pounds right now, Todd. 248.
Right, and you're pretty tall, so
you're
aren't
tall.
You like 6 feet? Yeah. What are you, 6'2"?
About 6'5", 6'4", 6'5", right in that neighborhood. But
shouldn't you be like 1 million pounds with eating 6 fast food meals a day, or how does that work?
You know, I have worked out pretty consistently my entire life, and I guess, like Gil says, it's kind of a medical marvel situation. I don't know. Gil, I don't take it personally that you never invited me on the pod, because I don't like to be up at 9 in the morning.
Yeah, I know. I know your schedule.
Typically, I sleep between about 6 to 7 a.m. to about 10 a.m., and that's pretty much just right in the middle of my sleep schedule, but that's okay.
We learned. We tried to have him on a numbers game a few times. We learned his schedule the hard way.
We're going to have to get some scientists down there to figure out what Matt's doing.
Todd, he's a fucking medical marvel is what he is. You know what he does? There is a secret that we haven't revealed. You don't drink soda, right? That is part of this.
I actually gave that up. I gave it up for the most part. I mean, every once in a while you cheat on pretty much everything in terms of what you eat and drink. But I did make a conscious decision to give that stuff up because I thought that's something that packs on extra pounds around your belly that you could do without. So I drink a lot more water and a lot less Coke and things like that. Yeah, sure.
That's me. If I could mainline some root beer into my veins, I would do it. Love that stuff. All right. So before we get into our best bets, first of all, dumbbell of the week. Is there any doubt about this?
Though? I mean,
we have to have a coaches division and a player division.
There's the coach division, player division. The refs are in their own category, but I think it's just sheer incompetence more than anything. I know people are really agitated about the always throwing around the F word on Sunday, of course. Fix these guys are not competent enough to fix a game. Let's just get that out of the way real quick.
So let's just say the coach is going to be
Jeff Saturday and the Colts staff.
Jeff Saturday and the Colts staff.
Yeah, I would throw the whole staff in there.
Well, okay, hold on. Who was the one who refused to use the timeouts? That was
well, Salah. Well, Salah refused up too, the but I think Saturday and company blowing a 33-point lead. That
all
takes
of it. The game. Not going down to the bottom of the play clocks. Both of those are it. Yeah. But obviously the player, I mean, it has to be Jacoby Myers. And the way that Raiders-Patriots game ended, which is just the most unbelievable ending to any game that I think any of us have ever seen. I don't want to be prisoner of the moment. But, like, I'm screaming watching this play. Like, you got to be careful. Like, I'm seeing it coming, right? And by the way, the sort of underrated part of that play is Chandler Jones camouflaged in the Raiders logo.
Yeah.
Right? Like, as if he could have laid down and been completely camouflaged and then just absolutely trucking Mac Jones.
Well, you know what was going through my head was Roethlisberger's tackle on that guy. I forget what the guy's
Indy playoff game.
Oh, it was the Steelers had the game won and that incredible upset in Indy. And Bettis goes into the line. It's like one of his last games ever. And he fumbles the ball. And then the Colts guy picks it up and he starts running the other way. And there's only one guy left and it's Roethlisberger. And Roethlisberger barely grabs out his arm and somehow stops him. As soon as Chandler Jones got that, I had a flashback to Roethlisberger making the tackle. And instead, Mac Jones with the most pathetic excuse for a tackle that I think I've ever seen. That was unbelievable.
So someone made the point on Twitter that Mac Jones's tackle attempt on Chandler Jones would be what happened if you put you or I out there.
Yeah.
That's what it would be like. What that attempt,
bro, when we
for Mac Jones.
In fifth grade, right, we had mandatory full pads football when we were in third grade. This is how it was back in the day. And in fifth grade, there was a kid in our class. Maybe you had this kind of kid in your class. He was post-pubescent. Like, he was the same height in fifth grade that he is today. And we were all like, and I remember one time he was coming at me. It was just me and him. And he just completely, like, he Mac Jones'd me. I had no chance. I think he tripped up, by the way, so I think I got the tackle. But he got the best of it. I was destroyed. That was that moment. And Chandler Jones, you could see it. He's like, I'm not letting this dude tackle me. Any in-game thing, Todd, real quick before we do it?
I mean, just that Redskins, it just shows that how, you know, you can be so right and still be wrong on these games. You know, I took the Commanders +5, was looking for the, you know, the backdoor shenanigans or whatever was going to happen. And, you know, of course, first of all, I don't understand. I still don't lose the game if they don't give up 42 yards on 3 straight carries to Saquon Barkley in absolutely positively run situations. I've never seen an NFL game where everyone knows the team's going to run the ball and you give it to Saquon Barkley 3 times and he gains 42 yards, 14 a crack each time. That was stunning.
That was the underrated part of that game. The Skins D did not show up.
No.
Did not show up. And Chase Young, one of these days, I guess, will show up for that.
At some point.
I don't know.
Maybe 2024.
Todd, update the records.
The records are very interesting. Mr. Gilly Ice and Jeffrey Parles went in different directions. We were all tied at 24-18. Gilly with a big 3-0, thanks to Tom Brady giving the game to the Bengals, each 27-18. Jeffrey with an 0-3 falls to 24-21. I had a solid 2-0-1 to 26-18-1. I'm a half game back of Gilly Ice. The guest seat falls to 22-23 after a poor 0-3. In the teaser division, we're all almost even now. 6-9 for Jeff and Gil. I am 5-9-1. And the guest is 11-4 on the teasers.
Guest chair is crushing teasers. Jesus. We suck at teasers.
We've been very bad.
What a terrible teaser year it was. All right. Now, this could be part of our best bets, or it might not be. But any thoughts, Matt, we'll start with you. Any thoughts on tonight's Jaguars-Jets game? Rain is expected. Rain is almost certain. We'll see if the wind gets to a hazardous mile per hour, but right now it's drifting about 14 miles per hour, which is just under the cusp of it mattering. Jets are going to have Quinnen Williams. Jets are going to have Zonovan Smith playing. It will be Zach Wilson, of course. Any play on this game tonight?
I don't have a play on this game. I talked with Danny Burke on the VSIN podcast about this yesterday, and I said I always like to be completely honest about this, because when people listen to you talk, sometimes you say you have a lean, whatever. I don't know what leans are necessarily, just but I don't want people to follow my opinion when I say I've just got a lean. If I've got a bet on something, it's a much different take. But I do lean to the Jets for whatever that's worth tonight. And that's why I said yesterday with Danny, I trust the Jets defense a little bit better. I think they have a better shot to win with Mike White at quarterback, but it's not a huge gap between Mike White and Zach Wilson. And I think the public perception of Wilson is a little bit off from reality, because he's not as bad as people seem to think he is. He made some really impressive plays and some good throws in that game a week ago. I kind of blame the coach for some clock mismanagement there as well. But I think the Jets defense is the best unit on the field. I also believe the Jaguars' recent success is being exaggerated by the media. A lot of times it's fun to play up the team that hasn't been good for a long time, and the Jaguars have stunk for a long time. And Trevor Lawrence was, you know, a month into the season, he was considered basically a guy headed in the direction of being a bust. He goes into the Cowboys game last week with 181 consecutive pass attempts without a pick. Jaguars are rolling. Hey, they're still down 17 in the third quarter of that game last week, and the Cowboys kind of gave it away. And don't forget, a few weeks ago, the Jaguars were blown out 40-14 at Detroit. So this team has not arrived yet. But again, like I said, it's not a real bet on the Jets. It's just a lean for me.
Todd, anything tonight, Todd?
Yeah, I'm going to make one of my plays this game, actually the over. I like the over 36.5 in this game. You want me to give my pick right now then?
Please, yeah.
Okay. I just think the Jaguars are turning into the ultimate over team. They're pretty good on offense now, and they've pretty much been decent on offense all year. I think they're getting a little bit better every week on offense, and I think the defense is horrendous. The defense is just absolutely horrendous for this team. Everybody moves the ball on the Jaguars, so even Wilson, who I just can't stand, I see the Jets scoring some points. I mean, the Jets scored on the Bears. The Jets will find a way to get us to 21, and I think the Jaguars can get you 17 points here. I think they're not bad on offense. I think they're horrendous on defense, and I just think that the Jets defense, of course, is this concern. If the Jets shut down the Jaguars, I'm going to lose this game. But I just think we can get to 17 points for the Jaguars. 21-17 gets you over. 36.5 is just so low for an NFL game. If you get turnovers on the wrong side of the field, you're going to win automatically. Give me over 36.5. It's just too low. I know the weather's crazy, but it's just too low.
All right. 36.5 is the number over for Todd. By the way, Todd, I'm going to make all of my final 9 picks of the year exactly yours so that I can beat you by a half game. Should I do that?
Sounds like something that you would do, and it sounds like the type of person that you are, so it doesn't surprise me.
Thank you very much, Mr. Wishnah. Yeah. Appreciate that. And we're going to try to, by the way, for all these games, because this is a polar vortex bomb cyclone week, we like did a whole segment on a numbers game this morning, like we were news radio, traffic on the ones or whatever, weather on the twos. We'll try to give the weather for the games that are affected by these weather systems. Anything tonight?
No bets. Matt is right. The Jet defense is the best unit in this game. But I also don't mind Todd's over, because you're dealing with Zach Wilson, who could give you a touchdown the wrong direction. We saw him, the difference in the game last week was three. Wilson handed Detroit 3 points with that absolutely ridiculous interception in the third quarter. I'm just concerned. The one big thing that I think a lot of people are missing with the Jets, part of the reason that this three-game losing streak has happened, not part of it, but a big part of it, is that offensive line has gone completely in the toilet the last month. Not having Vera Tucker, where he suffered that injury in Denver, that has really come to hurt them. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. My big concern is I don't know if they're going to be able to block against anyone. And this is a Jaguar defense. Let's face it, this Jaguar defense stinks. So if you can't score against Detroit, like 17 last week, not enough against Detroit. You could do the same thing you did against Jacksonville, and that could be a problem, and you're relying on your defense a whole lot again.
I would have had the Jaguars as a bet. They're my fourth. I do actually have a bet on the Jaguars from earlier this week, but they're not going to be one of my top three. The Quinnen Williams recovery bothers me just enough to stay off this. The weather bothers me just enough, so it's not going to be one of my top three. Todd, what number was that for you, 1, 2, or 3?
I don't know. I just put him down as I put him, so I just made that one.
Why did I know that was the answer?
By the way, no Cam Robinson tonight for Jacksonville. No Cam Robinson the rest of the season. Not having your starting left tackle is a big deal, though.
It's a big deal. All right, Matt Humans, everybody, from VSiN. Matt, tell everybody all the different things you do. First of all, the Friday Night Football Handicapping Challenge has been a real awesome thing this year. Explain to folks what that is and who's in the lead and everything right now when they can hear that.
Sure. The Circa Friday Football Invitational, 9 to midnight Pacific time. And I got to credit Derek Stevens because I brought the idea to him in August and said, hey, I kind of want to do a remake of the old Stardust Invitational. For anyone who was around Vegas in the 90s, early 2000s, Stardust Invitational was a big event on Friday nights where two handicappers went head to head. Sometimes it was a celebrity, sometimes it was a professional bettor, whatever. But it was a pretty cool deal. But I wanted to change the format and I think improve the format. But I needed somebody to put up some money and to make it a legitimate contest. And Derek Stevens did that because, as you guys know, Derek's, if you have an idea, take it to Derek and he'll yep. listen. And, you know, he's an innovative guy. And I appreciate him embracing that. When I told him about the start of this invitational, he was all for it. So, yeah, that's a big thing on Friday nights. And then Saturdays, I do a 3-hour NFL betting pregame show or a preview show with Scott Spreitzer. And I do those Saturday morning spots with Michael Lombardi. Be on with Brent Musburger this Sunday. Nice. I know you've done that a few times, Gil.
Yeah.
I love to be with Brent on Sunday mornings. And of course, we're all contributing a bunch of content to the website up there at vsin.com.
The Friday Football Invitational, the format is what, man?
16 handicappers, 5 best bets a week, sides and totals, no props, no first half plays, things like that, just sides and totals. You got the entire NFL and college football board.
Oh, they can do college too. And who's in the lead right now?
Chris the Bear Felica. Have you ever heard of him?
I think we know that guy. Wow.
Yeah, he works for Fox Sports. Or he will soon. Doug Kazarian of ESPN is in second. Then we got a few pros up there at the top. Joey Fortuna. I don't know if you know Joey Tunes.
Yeah.
Jeff Whitelaw. Randy McKay. We got a good group of, I was trying to see who else is up here at the top. Chuck Edel and James Salinas.
We know him too.
So what happens is after the 9th week, we start to cut the last place contestant each week. One cut a week for 8 straight weeks. So we're cutting the field from 16 to 8. And the final cut's going to be this week. And then you have your elite 8 to compete for the championship over the final 2 weeks.
Love that. And off the top, last question here, off the top of your head, do you know what Felica's record is at this point?
45 and 30. And I've got Brooklyn's Best Pizza. I know the owner. I got him to sponsor the best bets portion of the contest. So you pick one of your 5 games as a best bet, and that's used for tiebreaker purposes only. But I was talking with the Bear yesterday, and he's got the best bet record in the contest at 11-4 through 15 weeks. So we're at the end of the season. We will award a Brooklyn's Best MVP award, and that stands for Most Valuable Picker. And you get a free dinner at Brooklyn's Best. How about that?
Nice. Well, I've been on text with Felica where I'm talking about a play that I have, And he basically, because of this contest, because the stakes are much higher than whatever I'm babbling about, he's like, yeah, whatever, I got this. I got to beat Kazarian. So he's totally into it, but play by play. All right, let's get to our best bets, beginning with Mr. Humans, side or total, sir, whatever you got first. What's first?
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
All right, what I'm going to go with, here is a game that I thought at the beginning of the week I did not think I was going to be on. I was at the Patriots-Raiders game on Sunday and thoroughly unimpressed with both teams. And the more I looked at this Bengals-Patriots game, I kind of changed my mind in terms of whether or not I was going to play it. So the Patriots are going to be a play for me, and I bet them at +3.5, and I know 3 is the number right now, so for grading purposes on this pod, I'm sure it'll be +3, but that's okay. I did not anticipate I was going to like the Patriots in this spot, but the more I dig into it, I do. And Joe Burrow and the Bengals, they got off to a slow start in September. I think their Week 15 game at Tampa Bay was kind of a microcosm of the season. They fall behind 17-0. They roar back with 34 consecutive points. Bengals now 11-1 ATS in their past 12 after starting the season 0-2. Joe Burrow, who threw 4 picks in week 1, passes for 4 touchdowns last week. And now the Bengals are a cash machine for the betting public. And that's the team everyone wants to ride. And I understand that. But I'm going to look the other way here. So Cincinnati's 10-4, has a victory over the Chiefs, hosts Buffalo in week 17. So home field advantage in the AFC playoffs is still within reach. But I think this is a little bit of a tricky spot here. You're a 3.5-point favorite on the road for the second straight week, and you got a bigger game against the Bills on deck. I think the Patriots, 7-7 right now, figure to be fully focused for this game after the fiasco in Las Vegas. We all know what happened there. I think the one positive you take away from that game was that the Patriots were really able to beat up the Raiders defense on the ground. And I think they're going to do the same thing here to the Bengals defense. Ramondre Stevenson had 172 of the team's 206 rushing yards. I think they're going to have success on the ground against the Cincinnati defense. It's going to be without ends Sam Hubbard and Trey Hendrickson because of injuries. Bengals ranked 30th in the NFL in sacks. They've only got 22 for the season. 12.5 of those belong to Hubbard and Hendrickson, and they're not going to be on the field. So the New England offensive line's got a lot better shot to give Mac Jones the time to throw here. Typically, this is the type of spot where I would always back Belichick as a home dog. But obviously, this is not the same Patriots team, not the same Belichick. So it took me a while to warm up to this one. But I think if you can overlook some of the Patriots' shortcomings here, you can talk yourself into taking the points. Gil, I think you're on the other side of this one.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, initially at the start of the week, I was not going to like the Patriots, but I went ahead and took the 3.5, and I think it's a decent matchup and a pretty good spot for the Patriots.
Yeah, I'll jump in. We are oppo on that one. As long as it's 3, we're oppo, and it is 3. So some, I got the Bengals. I actually bought it to the 3 earlier this week in my betting account, but it is 3 now for the Bengals. In most spots, 24 degrees, 14 mile per hour winds, gust up to 40 miles per hour, 40% chance of precipitation, one of the games affected by weather. Joe Burrow, though, in the 5 coldest games of his career, including the playoffs, 5-0 with a 119.9 passer rating in those games. So he does not appear to be affected by such things. T. Higgins, full practice this week. For me, it's pretty simple on this. I've backed the Bengals. I backed the Bengals last week against the Bucks. I know, you know, all the, I lost, you lose the sharp card when you did that last week, apparently. And for about a half of football, it looked like I deserved to lose it. And then the Bucks did Bucks things. And it was really five straight possessions. I know it goes down as four straight possessions with a turnover, but the Giovanni Bernard, I didn't even know this was supposed to be snapped.
That was a turnover too.
To me, is really a turnover also. And so that just unraveled. And so, listen, I think the Bengals are just a better football team than the New England Patriots. Now, I have said this about the Patriots all year, and I do mean this. They are the one team, and you can say this about almost every NBA, any NFL game, but the Patriots to me are the team that typically, if they get ahead of you, they're a much different football team than they are when they get behind. They are not built to come from behind. But if they get ahead of you, they're usually good unless they're pitchy woo-wooing it around the field. But I like the, I like that it is a muted number. I think the Bengals are going to win the AFC North. I don't think the Patriots are going to have enough to beat them. The Bengals are my play. I will make it my number two play of the week on that.
I guess I get my number one since Todd's already utilized the play.
Uh-huh.
What are we giving me on the Philadelphia Eagles here, guys?
Eagles are plus, boop, 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 with Gardner Minshew plus six.
All right. I will take it very happily, take the full six. With the Philadelphia Eagles on the road to Dallas. Now, look, I know Dallas is coming off back-to-back pretty lackluster performances, all things considered. Houston had a beat until they didn't, and Jacksonville came from 17 down last week, and Dallas kind of just stopped playing when they were up 17 in that third quarter. But, you know, this was 1.5 before all the craziness happened on Monday when we realized, okay, the market's telling us Jalen Hurts isn't going to play. I think 4.5 points, as great as Hurts has been this year, that is too much from Hurts to Minshew.
It's a lot.
Gardner Minshew is a top three backup quarterback in this league. Now, look, I understand there's system things with Hurts that make it a little bit difficult to replace him. Granted, you have the perfect system fit in Baltimore, and Tyler Huntley looks absolutely awful right now. So I'm going to throw that argument out here. Minshew in his one game last year, granted he was playing a dreadful Jet defense last year, Minshew completed over 85% of his passes in that game and was awesome in a two-touchdown win in the Meadowlands. Now, yes, different story, different year, different type of defense in Dallas. But I thought the Cowboys have been overrated all year. And maybe it's confirmation bias these last 2 weeks with them struggling against the worst team in the league in Houston. And then, of course, Jacksonville beating them from 17 down last week. But they're starting to look like Mike McCarthy teams that are not quite as good as their record shows. I think Philly's winning the game outright, clinching the division. We don't see Hurts again until the playoffs. I like Minshew. Give me the six.
Wow.
Give me the six.
Jeff going outright.
Yeah, give me the six. Very happily.
Eagles magic number is one.
Yeah, just win the game on Saturday, you're in.
One Eagles loss or one Eagles win or one Vikings loss, and they clinch the number one seed in the National Football Conference. That's all it takes. So they got that going for them. But you think they're winning outright. By the way, in your backup quarterback power rankings, you said he's top three. Who's your number one? Teddy Bridgewater?
No, not anymore, because Bridgewater's totally fallen off the cliff. Do we count Heineke? Heineke as a backup still, Heineke, or no?
Nick Foles? I mean, like, I don't know. It's got a little polluted with some
no,
of these
it, it's kind of yeah. weird, because now
Kobe
you
have...
Who's that?
What was that?
Kobe Brissett.
Yeah, I would say Brissett's near the top at this point. I had Brissett in there. I had Minshew in there. I think White is up there as well. There are a bunch of guys that are pretty similar that are near the top of the list on backup quarterbacks.
Yeah. Is Baker Mayfield considered a backup?
I count Baker as a starter since Stafford is nowhere to be found anymore.
Jameis Winston not able to see the field.
Jameis Winston might as well not exist at this point.
Are we snaking? Oh, I haven't given mine.
No, yeah. You picked two.
Oh, I got picked two. We're snaking. Yeah. Okay, so my number one will be the, let me decide who I want to be my number one. It doesn't really matter how we rank these. I'm going to take the Washington Commodores.
There we go.
Is it 7.5 or just 7 now? What is it? I bet it at 7.5, but it's 7. I'll take the 7.
Yeah.
Here's what I think with the, I was talking about this earlier on a numbers game this week. Jeffrey and I were yesterday, which is, I feel like as bettors, as opposed to the mainstream media, like we do on the one hand get things better than they do, right? We're aware of things, or we seize on things that they might not necessarily. But I do think in some cases we go too far. And so I think that like the notion of seeding, we probably overrate. And I think the Niners right now are probably more concerned about being healthy down the stretch than they are about positioning themselves in the NFC playoff picture. And in fact, they're in the rare position where they've already won their division here with three games left. No one can catch them in the NFC West. And it is not realistic for them to catch the Eagles for the number one seed, which is really the only seed that matters. Obviously, it's the only seed with a bye. So I think like this notion, if you had that notion, maybe you didn't, of them, oh, we got to be the number two seed over the Vikings. Like, I don't think that's a thing. So let's start there. And I do think the Washington defense, and you're right, Todd, they were terrible the other night. But what's the old saying? You know, you're never as bad one week as you are or as good as you are the previous week. I actually think the Washington defense stacks up pretty well against a Debo-less, Brock Purdy-led offense. And I've always called the Commodes a poor man's version of the Niners. So there's a lot of things swirling. Washington needs it also much more than the Niners do. These things are less quantifiable, but I factor that in. I think you give me the full touchdown. I will take Taylor Heinicke playing for his starting job. I will take the Washington football team plus the 7 against the Niners.
And Brock Purdy's due for some turnovers.
Yeah.
That guy is going to throw some turnovers very, very shortly. I don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen.
Yeah, and then look, very similar style and team as well, the way that Washington is built with San Francisco. Yeah. So again,
Washington is a destitute man's.
Yes.
San Francisco 49ers.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
My number two, I'm going to take the 10 with the Seattle Seahawks on the road at Arrowhead.
Man.
Against the Kansas City Chiefs. Look, the Chiefs just struggle to cover big numbers. We saw it last week where, look, Patrick Mahomes, the narrative should have been Patrick Mahomes is so absurdly good, and it still is. I mean, Mahomes... 36 of 41 last week, over 300 yards.
Which is amazing. I asked out loud. I was like, yeah. is that the highest percentage of anybody who's ever thrown 41 passes?
Anyone over 40 passes, that was the highest completion percentage in league history.
Other thing is, like, I don't think it's very widely known. Like, he could break the all-time
passing yards record.
Passing yards record.
And I think he will.
He needs less than 1,000 yards.
Yeah, I think he will get over the last 3 weeks because Kansas City's going to need to keep playing despite clinching the AFC last week, because they could still get the one seed with one slip up by Buffalo. But they struggle to cover big numbers. And Seattle has not covered. The last time we saw Seattle cover was on November 6th. They covered on the road against Arizona. Since then, five straight games where they have not covered. They're leaking oil. Their defense stinks. I understand it, but I think Seattle is going to be able to move the ball on Kansas City. 10 is a large number. When you're dealing with, again, I don't think Seattle's terrible. I don't think they're terrible by any stretch. I think they're a perfectly average football team that should be able to play this game within single digits. So I'm going to take the whole 10 with Seattle and just hope this is not a game where Mahomes goes nuclear and they put up 40. But hey, Kansas City was up 28-0 against Denver and only won 34-28.
Weather in Kansas City.
Just
at least,
cold.
At least as we do this Thursday morning, 16 degrees, real feel of 11, 9 miles per hour wind, which is not a thing, but gust up to 22 miles per hour. Patrick Mahomes, though.
He's been great in cold weather.
In freezing temperatures, 8-1 career, and the only loss was that overtime loss to the Patriots in the 2018 AFC Championship game. Seahawks half game out of a spot in the NFC playoff picture. Detroit and Seattle half game behind the Washington football team for the last spot. Todd from his mom's Cork Attic. By the way, I just want to say this. We're 30 minutes into the podcast, and Todd has not done anything yet to make humans say, I'm never coming on this show again. Not yet, anyway. What's happening, Todd? What's up?
Oh, you want to hear from me now? Oh, okay, thanks.
Yes, no problem. I was going to say, yes.
Okay, yep. So... I'm going to go with Jeffrey on the Eagles plus 6. Here's the thing. I thought early in the year the best side of the ball or part of side of the ball was the Dallas pass rush. I really, really liked the Dallas pass rush early in the year, and I thought that was the most dominant part of any team, really, because they were just sacking the living crap out of every quarterback they faced, and their defense just looked amazing. I think they've sort of taken a step back on defense the last couple weeks. Houston moved the ball more than you would think Houston could move the ball. Jacksonville, I think, is a good offense, but I think they showed what a good offense can do to the Dallas defense. I just think there's something's up with Dallas's defense. And I feel like Minshew, while obviously not great, he's definitely passable. And I think a lot of the reason the Eagles have been so successful is not just due to Jalen Hurts. I think their overall team is just very talented, you know, on the lines and on the defense. And, you know, Jalen Hurts has been fantastic. Don't get me wrong. But Minshew can run a little bit, too. He's not like a statue back there. So I think the Eagles will be able to hang in this game with the Cowboys. I just don't see the Cowboys being this dominant defense it was early in the year. And therefore, 6 points in an NFL game against a team that is that talented, you know, in the roster. I don't know. That just sounds like a lot of points to me. So give me the Eagles plus the 6, just like Jeffrey, and hopefully we can both advance with that one.
My one
final score, 22-17, Dallas, with the backdoor touchdown by Minshew.
It's like Pete Axtell getting the exact score.
Shouldn't need the backdoor. You were saying, Gil?
Hey, I was saying, so my one pre-flop award bet of the year that I was like, oh, well, that one's winning, was Micah Parsons plus 650 to win Defensive Player of the Year.
Hey, you're in trouble.
And now it's like a mano-a-mano with Bosa. And I believe that the award will get determined by which one of those two guys has one more huge game in them. That's all it will come down to.
Well, we kind of talked about this yesterday with the MVP race where Burrow and Allen play each other in week 17 on Monday night.
Right.
This game is going to everybody on Christmas Eve.
And Goulet's point off air was the announcers will have some sort of impactful say on this, how much they hype up either one of these guys. All of that. These awards are
very
so
nebulous.
Nebulous. That's right. Matt Eumanns, you have a snake. You get your second and third here, Matty.
All right, I'm going to make it 3 now on the Eagles plus 6.
Wow.
And this is a game I played as well. I was a little bit disappointed in Todd's analysis there. He says 6 points is a lot. Now I'm counting on a backdoor touchdown to get there. So.
No, I like to do it, you know, in a very
you like drama
fashion.
No, but I think the key here is Gardner Minshew. You guys have talked about it, so I'll keep it brief. He doesn't have to play the hero role this week. He's got an elite offensive line in front of him, plenty of playmakers at the skill positions. And this guy's got 22 career starts. And last December, when Jalen Hurts was out with an injury, Minshew started against the Jets. He went 20 of 25 for 242 touchdowns. Also, I do think the Dallas defense is taking a step back. And again, if you watched the Jacksonville game a week ago, I thought you had to be a little bit discouraged what you saw from the Cowboys. They actually allowed 503 total yards and 192 on the ground, right? 192 on the ground, 7.1 per carry. That's what they allowed to the Jaguars. This Philly defense ranks number one in sacks and interceptions. You know, I've been a big fan of Jalen Hurts, too, and I actually predicted before the season he was going to have a breakout year. I didn't think it would be this great, but it has been. But still, 4.5 points, a difference between Hurts and Minshew in this type of situation, I think is a little bit too much with a Dallas team that's been on the decline. We haven't really talked about it much, but Dak Prescott has not been sharp.
Yeah.
He's got 11 picks in 9 games, and the Cowboys are not hitting for a lot of big plays. So, yeah, Eagles plus 6 is going to be a play for me as well.
All right. You know what happens when 3 people are one pick, though, on this show?
We're in a little bit of hurt, probably.
Dallas by 47. Dallas 53, the Eagles 6. No. All right, Matt, you get one more here, your third.
Do I have to take a third? Okay, I'll go with...
could be a total. Doesn't have to be a side.
No, this is going to be an ugly dog here. I'm going to take an ugly dog that nobody else wants. This is the one that sits at the rescue shelter, and everybody passes through. Nobody picks this dog, and I'm going to take it. I'm going to take the Colts.
I thought you were going to say Cardinals for a second. Okay.
No, I got something on that coming up here. But I think 4.5 is the best number. I saw 5 there last night, but 4.5 is the best number right now. Basically, this is a contrarian play because nobody wants to bet the Colts. You can't fire an interim coach. Jeff Saturday's not going to get the axe, but you can change a quarterback. Is Nick Foles going to make a difference? I don't know if he's going to be much of a difference over Matt Ryan, especially with Jonathan Taylor out. But I can tell you this, one of my favorite strategies in the NFL, and this has been true for about 15 years, is to fade the Chargers when they're favorites. They've won. They're 8-6. They've won only one game by more than 6 points this season. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but I'll take the Colts and the points.
If I was saying on guessing lines this week, if Brandon Staley fucks this up, but I didn't use that word on the guessing lines. But if he does, because here are the Colts' last three opponents: Indianapolis, the Chargers' last three opponents. Thank you. Colts, Rams, Broncos. Combined record 12-28-1, and the Chargers are currently in the playoff picture. So not only do you control your own destiny, you got it super controlled in terms of who your opponents are. If they mess this up, and by the way, no one would be surprised if they did. Not a soul.
Well, not only that, they have the tiebreaker over Miami, too. Right. Like, if they screw this up, Gil,
yeah.
Sean Payton's the coach of the Chargers next year.
Yeah, he's probably outside the building right now.
Yeah.
Dodd, what's your final one?
My final pick is going to be, what do you have the line at for the Titans-Texans game?
I see a juice 3.
Juiced 3.
I will take the juice 3. Give me the juiced 3.
Are you seeing the juice 3? I'm seeing 3.5s everywhere. Really?
Oh, come on. I see juice 3s everywhere.
I don't. I see 3.5 in most spots.
Jeffrey, can you come in here and give me some backup here against this guy?
I actually am going to back Todd. I think there are enough juice 3s.
All right.
I think there's enough.
See, finally the voice of reason against the evil forces of Gilead.
I'm okay with this because I like the other side. Let Todd have the 3.
Yeah, take the 3.
Yeah.
Tennessee Titans minus the 3. Now, this is what I bet I like to do in all sports. When you've got a team that's just a dreg of humanity, the Houston Texans, and they've played horrendous. And then all of a sudden, they show some life against Dallas and Kansas City, two of the eliter teams in the NFL.
Leader.
And they cover these gigantic, gigundous spreads easily. 17 they covered against Dallas. Probably should have won the game if they would have got it in the end zone late inside the 5-yard line. And then against Kansas City, they had chances as well, but covered a gigantic number. And now everyone's like, oh, now all they have to do is play against Malik Willis of the Tennessee Titans? That should be easy. Let's make it only 3 points. Wait just a moment, folks. Wait just a moment. The Tennessee Titans they're not a great team, but we still have Vrabel. Somehow we were able to push the game against the Chargers in a game that we should have gotten blown off the field in, 17-14. I think that this is the perfect example of when everybody hops on Houston now and like, oh, Houston's not so bad. They're not so bad. We've got Davis Mills on the road, as Jeff has told us many times. He's a Hall of Famer at home and not very good on the road. He's now going into Tennessee. I believe it's going to be cold in the United States this weekend. We should be able to see a lot of a large running back from Tennessee pounding people. Bam, bam. Nobody wants to get in front of that guy and tackle that guy in the freezing cold. I can assure you of that. So we're getting a perfect situation here where people are a little down on the Tennessee Titans and they're a little like, oh, wow, maybe Houston's not so bad. Malik Willis, he's a backup quarterback. He stinks, right? No, Malik Willis will be fine. He'll dink and he'll dunk. We'll give it to Mr. Smash Mouth over there, and we're going to get home with a final score of 24-10 in a typical Texans football game. They lose by 2 touchdowns. Well, thank you.
Speaking of Malik Willis, I cannot believe I got the Liberty cover the other day. That was
very fortunate.
Very fortunate. Nice of South Alabama to show up last night, by the way. Texans at Titans, because I promised the weather stuff. 18 degrees. Again, we're doing this Thursday morning. 18 degrees, 12-mile-per-hour winds, but gust up to 24.
Yeah, do you want to stand in front of Derrick Henry in that freezing cold?
Well, so the Titans have never played a home game in Tennessee with a kickoff temperature below 23 degrees. So there you go. But we were to your point, Todd, we were talking about this through the prism of Survivor, Circus Survivor today. So none of the big favorites, right, above 3.5, above the Vikings-Bengals tier, have none of the 14 entries left have anyone at their disposal except the Titans. 13 of the 14 have the Titans. And so the thought is, okay, like the two people who were saving the Bengals for the bonus in Survivor, shouldn't they probably now play the Bengals because of Malik Willis in for Ryan Tannehill? But to your point, Todd, the counter argument is, yeah, but it's Derrick Henry. And so like of all the setups for the Titans to have in this situation, they might have the most favorable just because they have that dude. So,
and didn't Vrabel almost didn't he almost win at Kansas City with Malik Willis?
Should have won at Kansas City with Malik Willis.
Yeah, I mean he's the kind of guy, he's like a Tomlin. They're gonna find a way to figure it out, to massage it, to figure a way to just hang around and win the game. It's not, I mean, this is Houston Texans here, folks. This is not a good football team.
Ronnie Hillman just died.
He had liver cancer.
Jeez.
And Franco Harris. Could you believe Franco Harris died? This is insanity.
Yeah, well, Franco Harris was 72, though. That's the difference.
I know, but I had at least over under 76.
By the way, who would you rather have at his prime, Riggins or Franco Harris, Todd? There's only one correct answer here.
Well, you know, Franco Harris did. I'm gonna give you this one. Riggins was better than Franco Harris. Now, everybody loved Franco because he had the big yardage, the gaudy numbers. But the truth is, we had an incredible team, and he was just running through every. I mean, even Rocky Blyer with one leg ran for 1,000 yards 1 year. So I will give you this. Riggins was great. With that being said, Mark Rippon isn't the greatest quarterback of all time.
What made you think I would think that?
No.
Parlay. No,
pick number three?
Yes.
Fraud Bowl 2022. Let's go to it. I'm taking the Giants. I'm taking the four.
Wow.
With the Giants against Minnesota.
You're all over the place today.
Oh, I have three underdogs. They're all technically in the playoff hunt. But look, what happened last week with Minnesota was the dumbest thing until Sunday with Jacoby Myers that I've ever seen. That just, again, proves how dumb the Myers thing was. But the fact that Indianapolis, the only way the Colts possibly could have lost that game was how it happened. Oh, and by the way, should have lost in regulation because the refs screwed up that fumble that was clearly a fumble.
Twice.
Two of them.
Twice.
The one in the first half, which was not quite as bad as the one in the fourth quarter, which was the most obvious fumble in the history of mankind.
Premature whistles, yeah.
Yeah, it just, and Minnesota still won the game, mostly because Indianapolis, I don't know what's the offensive coordinator? Parker Frazier, whatever the hell his name is.
Parker Frazier.
The kid's name is.
Yeah.
Just run the ball. You're up 30 points. Just run the ball every single time and then let Matt Ryan throw a pass. The only reason they got back in the game was because they threw so many damn incomplete passes and didn't run the play clock down when they had the opportunity to. But Minnesota's 11-3 with a plus 2 point differential. The Giants are currently in the postseason with a negative point differential. But I do think one thing has to be accounted for here. And Todd mentioned it earlier. With the way that the Giants put that game away, again, quote-unquote put that game away, yes, I know Washington had a chance at the end. But Saquon Barkley looks healthy again. And that is something that was not the case during that lull that the Giants had when they started losing games. I think the Giants' defense is better than Minnesota's. I think Barkley is going to play a giant role in this. And I think the Giants' defense, again, Jefferson will get his yardage. Cook will get his yardage. But I think this is a higher scoring game that the Giants find a way to lose by a field goal. So I'm taking the four with Big Blue on the road in Fraud Bowl 2022.
It really is. Total Fraud Bowl. Giants looking good for the playoffs now. That was a huge win against the Commodores on Sunday. Over a 90% chance for the Giants to get into the playoffs. How can they mess this up?
Well, look, the winner of that game was going to have that over 90% chance. I thought Washington was going to run him out of the building. Boy, was I wrong.
All right, my final play.
Yo, wait, we have an update from the Patriots game. It seems that Joe Burrow has thrown his third pick of the first half, and the Patriots are up 24-0. Holy cow, Matt Humans is correct, and Gilly Ice is taking
It's not even a game that he's picking now.
He's just messing around.
But by the way, Chase Young is going to play. That just came
down. There you
go, baby. So he is going to play this week.
My last pick is the Dolphins. I'm taking the Dolphins.
Miami.
I'm laying, what is it, four?
Four.
Quattro, laying the 4 points. With Miami Dolphins, again, just full disclosure, these bets are all in the betting account, not just saying them on the show here. But I took Dolphins minus four, Commanders plus 7.5 at the time. I know it's 7 on the show. Bengals bought to the 3, and I do have the Jags tonight, but the Jags are not one of my top three. But I got the Dolphins minus 4. Here are the teams that the Packers have beaten this year. You ready for this illustrious list of teams? The Chicago Bears, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers by 2, the New England Patriots. Remember, they did beat Dallas. They were down 14 late in that game, and they beat the Bears. Oh, and the Rams. Here's who they lost to. Vikings, Giants, Jets, Commodores, Bills, Lions, Titans, Eagles. What does that tell me? They suck at football. They are. I know a lot of people like, we had Eric Eager on from Sumer Sports today. What is the sneaky team that nobody's thinking about that no one wants to play in the postseason? In the NFC, he said the Packers. Were you surprised by that answer?
Yes.
Me too. Like, come on.
I mean, look, that's just a past history play that Aaron Rodgers is going to figure it out, but they stink. They're not a good football team this year.
I'm also more bullish on the Dolphins than most people are. Like, I'm not anti-Tua. And like last week, I know, and I say this all the time, like we have to fill content during the week. And a lot of people got into that. Like as soon as I said I was on the Dolphins plus the points against the Bills, everyone was like, oh, Gil, I don't know if you heard this. Quick turnaround. They're coming from California. They're going to have to go to Florida. It's in the cold. And then Tua very eloquently said, you know, it snows in Alabama. And so I do think we overrate some stuff sometimes. I like the Dolphins. I think they're a good football team. I think Tua is way better than people want to make him to be. Dolphins should have won that game at Buffalo. They had the 8-point lead. They kept settling on third and ones for throwing the football. Just run. There was like three different instances in that game where they just outsmarted themselves and they left the door open enough for the Bills to come back and win. I think it's a mismatch. I'm taking the Dolphins and laying the points. I don't think the Packers are good at all. So those are my three. I'm staying out of the weather. By the way, the biggest...
That was really a very, very... I was very shocked that Miami played as well as they did. They really played well in that snow and craziness. That was just unbelievable.
I thought Miami was actually better than Buffalo. Buffalo just awesome. Made the plays at the end of the game that they needed to.
Right, but, and I just didn't expect that. By the way, how come the announcers don't even realize that when Josh Allen goes airborne
and puts
the ball over... I'm watching this live. Now, granted, I've watched 1.4 million football games, but I immediately say, wait a second, are you sure he didn't get in there? Yeah. How come they don't say that?
Yeah, they went to commercial and didn't even consider that he had gotten over the plane. Yet we watching, we're like, I think he got over. I think that 2-point conversion counted. By the way, Mark Sanchez, that whole broadcast was terrible. Mark Sanchez, all he does is go, wow, whoa, oh, like that's his whole color commentary. Which works.
The announcing and some of these college bowl games, like the announcers are so bad. They just unbelievable. They're like, well, they are down 8. They're probably going to go for 2 if they get the touchdown. Probably, you think.
Well, full disclosure, I texted Parlay in the middle of the Vikings-Colts game. And I said to him, I go, who is this guy doing this game that is like doing a perfect Ian Eagle imitation? Like he's emphasizing the exact same words that Ian Eagle is. Who is this guy? Jeff's like, it's Noah Eagle. It's his son. I'm like, oh, that explains it. Good for him.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
By the way, biggest weather impact this week, as we look at this Thursday morning, the Saints-Browns game. 29 mile per hour winds. Gusts up to 63 mile per hour. 12 degrees. Cloudy snow shower. Very cold, blowing and drifting snow. Could be the first game with 25 plus mile per hour winds since the Patriots-Bills crosswinds game last year.
Monday night.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of a Falcons. Do you remember the Falcons-Bears game that had the lowest second half total I've ever seen in an NFL game? I believe it was 13.5 or 14.5 in the second half. It was a freezing cold Michael Vick against the Bears, probably early 2000s. Do you remember that? The line was like, I just couldn't believe it. It was like 13.5 in the second half.
32.5 the total in this Browns game. Remember that Browns-Raiders game where like the field goal was going right down the middle and all of a sudden it like cut 90 degrees from the wind to the side? Like, I mean, winds really matter in that stadium. So who knows? 32.5 might not be low enough. All right, teaser of the week, Matt Eumanns.
Okay, let's see. I considered the Saints. Actually, I do have a bet on the Saints +3, talking about the weather in that game. I think the Saints are going to run the ball very effectively against that poor Cleveland run defense. I considered the Raiders teasing this up, and I did not bet. I did not get 3 with the Raiders, and I'm not sure how I'm going to play it. I might put them on a teaser. But one thing that hasn't been talked about much when we look back on that wild Patriots-Raiders game a week ago, the first 6 drives of the second half, the Raiders had a total of 36 yards. Mm-hmm. I just don't trust this team, so I'm going to stay away from that. I'm going to tease down 2 favorites, and I'm going to tease down the Bills to -2 and the 49ers to -1. And I don't feel comfortable laying all the points with either one of those teams, but on a teaser, I'll go ahead and play the Bills and Niners.
Todd Wishnev, star of Showtime's docuseries Action.
I was thinking about having the Raiders up to 8 against my Yinzers. My Yinzers, by the way, we're a football team already in that. What are we doing down here? We're taking the football. We're running it right up the gut. There's nobody can stop us in the run. I can't believe it. We've got a running game for the first time in 45 years. Anyway, okay, enough about that. My Yinzers, though, are starting to become a football team. I can't believe it.
You have a Mike Tomlin stat you can share with us that none of us have ever heard before?
I don't think Mike Tomlin has ever had a losing season. Is that the one?
I have never heard that. Wow.
But Yinz, I'll tell you Yinz one thing right now. We never put a lower number on the right side than the left side. The left is where you're winning, and the right is the loss. Anyways, I will take the okay, I'm going to do something crazy here. I'm going to take the Bucs down to 2 against Marty McSorley, whatever his name is.
I'm pretty sure it's Marty, yeah.
Marty McSorley.
Yeah. Marty McSorley from Back to the Future. I just can't believe this Arizona football team. Is this a football? What is this?
So
when,
bad.
When they have McSorley in, it is the most first of all, they stink on defense. And they're terrible on offense, and now McSorley's the quarterback. This guy is not ready for prime time, folks. And I know the Buccaneers stink. Granted, they do stink. They should have won that Bengals game, but okay, whatever. I think they can at least go down there and beat the Buccaneers. I mean, my God. I mean beat the Cardinals. This is a joke team. Give me the Bucs -2, and then give me also my second one. Oh, I had it before. Oh, yeah. Give me the Ravens. I still don't believe in the quarterback from Cincinnati, University of Cincinnati, Ritter. Although he was good in the fourth quarter, you know, he pretty much did stink most of the game. I think the Ravens, that was a misleading football game against Cleveland. The Ravens moved the ball a lot. They just kept shooting themselves in the foot. I think the Ravens at home against Ritter, you know, I'll take them. What do I have, -0.5 on that one?
Yeah, -0.5.
You irrationally hate Ritter because of how much you hate Luke Fickle.
Yes, I hate Luke Fickle. And then irrationally, correct, I hate Ritter as a running quarterback in a National Football League. That doesn't usually work. You know that doesn't usually work when you're like a running quarterback in I mean, Lamar Jackson maybe work, but I just don't see Desmond Ritter. And I do irrationally hate him.
Jeffrey?
I'm going to take Buffalo down to 2 with Matt on that. And then, to give some intrigue to what is the worst game on Christmas Day, I am going to push the Rams to 8.5 against the Denver Broncos.
Wow.
Mostly because Denver just finally beat someone by double digits. I don't think they're capable of doing it 2 straight weeks. So let's go. Let's go, Rams. Let's go, Baker.
I believe I do have a winning teaser, and this is not in my betting account yet, but will be momentarily. I am going to tease the Jaguars past the 7 to the 8.5 or the 8, whatever it is tonight. And I'm going to pair it with the New Orleans Saints, which I believe I'm contractually obligated to use as a teaser leg because the total is 32.5 and I would catch 8.5. Come on. How can that lose? That's my teaser.
Yep.
Jaguar Saints.
Browns 9, Saints nothing.
Yeah.
The beige water pistol can fumble the ball because it's too cold. Mike Palm's beige water pistol.
By the way, I know Dalton's been good, but like I didn't get the memo on like they're never playing Jameis Winston ever again. Like when did that happen? They just decided he's not as good as Andy Dalton and it's never going to happen again. I guess it's like he's just not even a thought at this point. All right, final 2 questions. Final two questions of each and every Megapod from its inception. The first of which is, which of the big favorites is the most likely to lose outright in your opinion? Here are your candidates, and I'm not including the Eagles and the Cowboys game. Your choices are the Bills, 8-point favorites on the road against the Bears. Dub Bears. Chiefs, 10-point favorites at home against the Seahawks. The Ravens, 6.5-point favorites at home against the Falcons. 49ers, 7-point favorites against the Commodes at home. And the Buccaneers, 7.5-point favorites at the Cardinals. Matt, which is the most likely to lose outright?
I'm going to go with the Buccaneers. And I know that Marty McSorley's on the other side, but still, this Buccaneers team's all around bad. Coaching, offense, defense, special teams, it's rotten. The Bucs are actually 3-6 in the last 9 games, and 2 of those were miracle wins.
Yes.
Right? This team should be 1-8 in the last 9 horrible games. So let's go with the Bucs.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, are we all not so secretly hoping that the winner of this division is like 7-10?
So I mean, you might be lucky at this point.
6-8, 1-game lead for the Bucs over all 3 other teams of the division, Falcons, Saints, and Panthers. And what Matt is saying is 100% right. 2 of them are miraculous. I think the first Saints game they probably should have lost also, right?
Oh, the Bucs have to do, though, if they get down 13 with 4 minutes left, they're going to win the game. All they have to do is get down 13.
I mean, that first Saints game was a coin flip until Jameis lost his mind. Well, and even then, there was a bad officiating call in that,
and
too.
Then they're getting a home playoff game if they win this division.
And they will likely beat Dallas in the 4-5.
Well, you know,
then you'll hear everybody, we have to change the seating structure, and it's not fair, and teams shouldn't be able to get in. No, this is how life works. Sometimes you get in because you're in a bad division. Relax, people.
Todd, which of those is most likely to lose outright?
I think the Niners might lose. Yes, I really like your pick of the Commanders. That was one of my, you know, I didn't make my top 3, but I think the Niners could lose this game. I think everybody's a little too high on Mr. Purdy, and Mr. Purdy, he might throw some interceptions. This would be a perfect team to turn the ball over a couple times. We all know that when favorites lose, it's a turnover situation. Who could stop Purdy from maybe throwing a couple picks and somehow the Redskins just run the ball, find a way, you know, and the Niners lose.
Jeffrey?
It's Baltimore. Baltimore. The Ravens suck right now. I mean, they're not quite as ridiculous as Tampa with the way of sucking out these games, but Pittsburgh, if Trubisky remembers what color the Steelers wear, the Steelers win that game by 2 scores. And the Bronco game, I mean, that was the Broncos gave them 8 bajillion chances and they cashed in on the 8 bajillion chance. So, I think the Ravens are very lucky they won those last 2 weeks, or else we'd be looking at Baltimore collapsing and missing the playoffs like they did last year.
Jason Kahn, who behind the scenes is doing this podcast, just texted me this. Jason, don't hate me for repeating this on air. He says, Minshew gave eulogy at Mike Leach funeral, might be in for a really big game. So Jason Kahn just texted me.
Is that the motivational
most guys
factor?
Do we have
a week of a eulogy?
Yeah, do we have any eulogy trends?
Week of the eulogy teams are 15-1 with eulogies. Yes.
All right, I'm going with the Niners. I can't tell you why, other than what I said earlier. I just have a suspicion that the Commanders show up and the Niners don't. So I'll just say it's them. Though the Buccaneers could very well either, and so could the Ravens. I think none of those 3 feel that good to me. Last question. Yeah, we live in a bizarre world. You must bet a side on every single one of the 16 games on the National Football League slate. And remember, most of them are on Saturday this week. Then we have 3 on Sunday and 1 on Monday. But you are allowed 1 free pass, Matt, 1 game that you want no part of on the spread whatsoever. What's that game?
It's a tough call here. I think it's either the Broncos-Rams game or the Texans-Titans game. I'll go with the game in Nashville. I know Todd's got a best bet on that one. I want to throw this out to you guys real quickly. I don't know if you talked about it on your pod. The Texans-Cowboys game, you recall the play after Dak threw the pick with about 5.5 minutes to go, and the Texans, if they can score a touchdown, they basically put the game away. They go up 2 scores inside 3 minutes, and it's going to be awfully hard to lose that game. I know I got a friend who had a significant bet on the Texans on the money line. It would have paid off $50,000 in that game. You guys remember the second down play, the pass to Chris Moore?
Yes.
When it looked like he stretched the ball out over the goal line as his knee went down. I took photos of that play when I was watching the game replay. How was that not reviewed? What was Lovie Smith doing on the sideline? And in this NFL world where every play is reviewed and everything is looked at so many times, how did that play, the play of the game, the most important play in that Texans-Cowboys game, how did that not get reviewed? Do you guys recall that?
Yes, because I remember that. So they got the pick, and Matt's right, it was first and goal, I want to say, at the 4. Don't hold me to that yard line, but I think basically what happened was first down, they lost a yard. So I think they started at the 3. Then they lost a yard to the 4. Then they go to Chris Moore, who, by the way, is turning out to be a pretty darn good receiver. Yeah. And yes, is that the goal line? They didn't review that, Matt? They didn't review that?
That was not reviewed. You remember
because it has to be a scoring play to be automatic.
And they didn't call it a scoring play.
And Lovie somehow didn't challenge. I remember right. We were on the air. I was stunned Lovie did not challenge. Right.
And then they end up not getting in the Lovie end zone, Smith. Too. Yeah.
Right. Right. Lovie Smith asleep at the wheel, does not challenge it. Actually, the kicker was running on the field because everybody thought it was a touchdown. Then a ref runs in and says, no, his knee was down. It's completely ridiculous to me that was not reviewed, but that falls on Lovie Smith. But anyway, I'm going to go with the Texans-Titans as the game I want no part of here.
Dodd?
I don't want any part of this Broncos-Rams game. I mean, Baker Mayfield against whatever that...
Hey, Russell ripping. Wilson's back this week, Dottie.
Oh, Russell Wilson's back? I still don't want any part of it.
Jeff?
I want nothing to do with Detroit and Carolina.
Yeah, man.
I'm just wondering how long this magic carpet ride for the Lions can last. Should have ended last week against the Jets, but they decided to not cover the tight end, and then Solid just forgot that he had 3 timeouts. So I'm a Carolina Detroit. I want nothing to do with it.
I feel like I could answer this question with like 5 games, but I will say.
By the way, did you guys hear that? Did you hear that? That's the roar of Matthew Judon strip sacking Burrow. They're going the other way. Holy cannoli. We got an upset brewing in New England.
Is this why your mom decided Orthodox Judaism was to be your fate? Was this why she did that? Was she like, I got a fix for this kid?
It was punishment for my very, very disturbed soul.
I'm going to say Raiders Steelers. I don't know that. I mean, that is that the Christmas?
That is Christmas Eve night.
Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve night. Yes. That's the solo standalone Christmas Eve night game.
By the way, it's going to be cold.
Well, forget the night. It's Christmas Eve, right?
Yeah. Christmas Eve, the 24th.
So they never play games on Christmas Eve, right? This is Immaculate Reception. I want nothing to do with that game. I lean Steelers, but I would not bet this game. Now, what are the chances of me, while everybody's celebrating Christmas Eve, not having a wager on this game when all is said and done? Probably low.
Zero.
Yeah, probably very low. All right.
It's Nittelnacht. It's Nittelnacht. You ever heard that one?
No, what's that? Good.
I won't even tell you.
Well, she said it, so just tell me. What is it?
It's Yiddish for the Jews, they don't, whatever. The Orthodox Jews are kooky.
Dude,
they don't.
How many Christmas Eves have you spent eating Chinese food while watching a Hawaii game in college football, college bowl game?
Of course, because it's Chinese food for the Jews. Yeah. The Chinese restaurants, by the way, if you have stock in Chinese restaurants, it's going to go way up.
Big night.
On Christmas Eve. Because the Jews love eating Chinese food on Christmas Eve.
Matt, tell the truth. Is this a cultural clash that you have no idea what we're talking about? We lost humans.
Matt, do we lose you?
Yeah.
Yes.
He has no idea where we're talking.
I heard him talking about Chinese food on Christmas Eve. Yeah. My sound keeps cutting out.
That's all right. That's all right. It's a whole thing. All right. We've done all we can do. Matt Humans, everybody. First time on the podcast. Matt, hope it wasn't too painful, man. We appreciate you doing it.
Okay. You bet, guys. Thanks.
Matt Humans. And you, Matt. Check out the Friday Invitational. Friday nights, Friday Invitational, Handicapping Invitational. Chris Felica in the lead with Humans right here at VSiN. For Jeff Parlay, for Todd Wishnev, Gil Alexander, good luck with all your bets. Week 16 in the National Football League.
At
Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.